You know, I want to share a little bit. I just really wasn't settled until very, very late last night, kind of early this morning, on kind of the direction to go today. And I'm settled in my heart. You know, you need to be settled in your heart when you do something. And I want to add a little more to what we've been sharing on the power of the seed. And I want to look at this today in the area of faith. And I want to just share a little bit here, and I believe this will help us some. And open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter 1:23. And we've been looking at this particular scripture. But it's important when we talk about the power of the seed, that seed needs to be planted and watered, and God gives the increase. This is 1 Corinthians 3:6. You don't need to turn there, but in order for seed to do any good, it's got to be planted, and it needs to be what? Watered, and it needs increase, and God will give the increase. But 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'm going to jump in here, verse 23, it says, familiar scripture verse says, being what? Born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the word of God, or we became born again, we became changed by a seed, an incorruptible seed, being planted in our hearts. And one of the things that is so exciting to me is that this seed is what? Incorruptible. It can't die. It won't change. And one thing, if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55, and verse 8, you know, even though these outward bodies of ours are getting older, the scripture says perishing, the inward man is what? Being renewed. It's being renewed day by day. What does that mean? The outward's decaying, but the inside should be what? Increasing. Increasing. This is what I want to focus on today. Increase. So in order for there to be increase, there's got to be some planting, there's got to be some watering, and then there's renewal. What it says, our inward man is being renewed day by day. There's increase. And so when we look at Isaiah 55, in verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So now he's talking about thoughts and his ways. And he said, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bud, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now he starts connecting his thought with his words. That's why we were saying in the past that you can't see a thought, but you wouldn't know God's thoughts, would you, unless it was expressed or written in his word. Most people today, when they don't read his word, they go, well, you know, we just don't know what God's thinking. Really? I do. And you have the Holy Ghost to unfold and reveal the word of God to you, so he makes it what? Clearer and plainer to you. This is what he's thinking. So it's important here. He's connecting his thoughts with his word. He's saying here, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall what? Accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So his word will prosper if we do what? Plant it, water it, and he gives the increase. Where's that increase? In your heart, in your spirit. Thank God it's not on the outside. I'm sorry, that was... Some of us need to work on the outside. Anyways. But the point we have here is, how's the seed planted? The seed is planted just like it says in Romans. It says we do what? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart for God that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But verse 10, with the heart, what? Man does what? Believes unto righteousness. So with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So it's always the heart is believing and the mouth is confessing something that you believe. That's how you increase here. That's how there's increase. I'll just read this. Proverbs 3:3, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So we write things on the table of our heart by our mouth. You might wonder, where do we see that? Well, we got done just reading it. With the heart, man does what? Believeth, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You know, there's an interesting thing. When you look at Mark 11:23, and it's, if you back up a verse, it's talking about faith. And then Mark 11:23, it says, whosoever shall do what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that they say shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now, what's interesting is a lot of people think, I can just say something and get something. No. Seed, you know, that would be like saying all a farmer has to do is plant seed and he gets a harvest. Planting is part of it, but there's a process from planting to harvest. And it's the same process here. We have to plant a seed. We have to do what? Paul wrote, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. So a lot of people think, well, I can just confess this and I'll receive something. But we just got done reading, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when we look at Mark 11:23, it's the same thing. It says, if you say and don't doubt in your heart those things that you say, you'll have what you say. So you've got to do what? Not doubt. That's in the heart. So you've got to, so confession is part of receiving. It is part of the planting, but in the receiving, there can't be doubt. Otherwise, you short circuit the promise, see. So there's no possession of something without confession. That's true, but there has to be belief in the heart. And you confess, you say what you believe. So when we look at this whole thing of planting, watering, and increase, if you don't believe, then continue to say, because what? What does Romans 10:17 say? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's a spiritual principle here. If you don't believe something, you say, well, I just don't believe that, but you see it working in the world now. People will say things that they don't believe, and they keep saying it, and they shift over at some point to believing what they're hearing. We see that all the time. So people, you've heard people say, they told that lie so much, they now believe it. Well, you know, we laugh, but that's a spiritual law that's been put in motion because they kept saying something. They heard themselves say it, and after a while, they began to believe it. Faith came by them saying it was a lie, but they kept saying it. The principle will work. The spiritual principle will work. So if you don't believe something, keep saying the word of God. Keep hearing yourself say the word of God. This is watering. That's watering. And God will give the increase. What will happen? Faith will come. And then when you do say it, no doubting. See, then you will receive. You know, I've shared this story a few times. Years ago, I remember hearing Charles Capps. Many times I'd heard him speak back in the early 80s at the Kenneth Copeland Crusades. And he would get up and share about how he liked to hunt, he liked to fish. And he began to work these principles of saying what you believe, believing and saying what you believe. And he said, well, I like to hunt. And this is what he used to say. I'd go into the woods, and he said, inevitably, I get poison ivy. So I'd go to the store, get the calamine lotion, put it all over me, and, you know, go through the process. But he said he began to learn these principles of in the Word of God of what was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And he began to say over his body, I believe that I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have poison ivy. Now, he did not use calamine lotion. He still used it, but he kept saying it. And he said it took about 6 months, but he said he got to the place where he'd go into the woods, take poison ivy, and strip it down off of the vine, and it wouldn't bother him, wouldn't get on his skin. How did that come about? He planted seed, he kept watering it, until the curse couldn't touch him. And, you know, he tells other funny stories about fishing. He's in the boat, and the group of guys are on one side of the boat, he's on the other side. All the fish are coming to his side of the boat because he said, I commanded them to. He said, I commanded the fish to come to me, just like Jesus did. And he said, the other guys are getting annoyed. They're like, man, we ain't catching nothing. Can we switch? We want to get on your side of the boat. He said, no problem. He just called them over to the other side. No, he makes fun, but he made a funny out of it, but he was serious. He said, you've got to begin to learn to believe in the things that you say. Don't doubt. The more we believe the word of God, it will do what? It'll remove doubt. It'll diminish doubt and diminish fear. See, there'll be what? Confidence. There'll be assurance that what I say is coming to pass. That's why when Brother Hagin wrote, you know, these little entries, they're so helpful because he kept feeding on the word of God. When his wife would say, I wonder what happened, he says, I don't need to know what happened. I spoke it and it's coming to pass. And he worked that principle. It didn't happen overnight. It started with him when he was bedfast for 16 months. And finally, by feeding on a few of these scriptures, he began to see in the Word of God. He began to see light in the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost, he tells the story, how the Holy Ghost said to him, now you believe you're well. He said, well, people are up at this time of the day. He said, I still couldn't feel parts of my body. I was still paralyzed. But he said, I took my legs and threw them out over the side of the bed and pulled myself up. He said, when I did that, when I obeyed the Holy Ghost, he said, the power of God hit me from the top of the head to my toes. See, so he began to see in the Word of God where God said, you've got to believe and doubt not. And he was healed. So we can see here from these principles, and I'm not going to go back through this, but we saw from the Word of God, the parable of the sower, and we began to see the various types of ground that the seed was sown into or on. We saw that in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, it talked about the seed is the Word of God. So the seed, the Word of God, is to do what? Is to be planted, it's to be watered, and there should be increase in our hearts. So we saw the different types of ground, the wayside or the hard ground or hard path. We saw also the rocky soil that it said it didn't have much ground, and so it sprung up, but it was said it withered because of lack of moisture, wasn't watered. And then we saw where the seed was sown into thorny soil, thorny ground, and then it said that what happened was that it grew up, it grew, and it grew with the thorns, and the thorns choked it, and it became a thorn fruitful. What was it? They said the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches, or they say the pleasures of life, choke the word. Doesn't mean we can't have those things, but you're not to allow that to do what? Choke the word of God. And then there was good ground, and it talked about what is good ground. We talked about that. What is good ground? Good ground, it talks about, is those that hear the word and do what? It talks about an honest and good heart. It says, but on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. That means you're obeying it, you're doing something with it. And it says, and bring forth fruit with patience. And we looked at these various things in verse 15 where it talks about the seed, the honest and good heart, but I looked at God's Word translation. It said, the seeds that were planted on good ground are people who also hear the word, they keep it in their good and honest hearts, and produce what is good despite what life may bring. That's what I like about this. So no matter what comes your way, you're going to hold on to the word of God until you see a harvest. And a lot of us, in some ways, you know, you give up, you let go. You say, I don't see anything. And you get frustrated and you stop believing in your heart and you stop confessing with your mouth what you started to believe. In other words, the Johnson paraphrase, it says you become separated from your words, the things that you said in faith. You become separated from it. You start saying something else. And I like the Message translation said, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. You're going to stick with the word until you see a harvest. Come what may, we're going to stick with it. Because what? I know that with confidence, God is faithful. And he's going to see, as we read in Isaiah, he watches over his word to perform it, and he is going to watch over it and make it prosper. So as we look here, I want to look at, if you would, turn over to Matthew chapter 13. We're in this chapter of the sower, sowing the seed, but I want to look at, if you back up to, well, we're going to look at Matthew 13 and verse 31 and 32, and then we're going to jump over to Mark. But Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32, He said here, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is what? The least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now go over to Mark chapter 4 and let's look at verse 30. 31 and 32. And this same account, but I want to look at this. He says here, the master speaking, he said here, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds. This word seeds is the Greek word sperma. So this has God's nature in it. It's the least of all the seeds that be in the earth. And when it is sown, it what? It groweth up. So the seed has to be sown, and the expectation is it groweth up and becometh what? Greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now, if you back up in Mark 4, look at before he unfolds or unravels or shares openly with the disciples here, look at verse 13 of that chapter. Before, you know, we've been reading verses 14 through 20. But look at verse 13. He said, and he said unto them, unto him, know ye not this parable? How then will you know what? All parables. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? How will you know all parables? So he's saying here that for you, you're going to need to see the principle in this. Otherwise, you're not going to know all parables. So here, now let's jump over to Matthew 17, talking about the seed of the kingdom of God being like a grain of seed. But Matthew 17, and and look at verse 14. He said, and when they were come down, when they were come to the multitude, there came a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus did what? He wasn't thrilled about that. He said what? O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now, hold that thought and just back up. You know, these are the disciples asking Jesus, how come we couldn't cast the devil out of them? back up to Matthew chapter 10 and just look at the beginning of Matthew chapter 10 and look at the first few verses here. This is what got Jesus a little upset. It said here, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, these are the ones that were just getting done over here asking him, how come we couldn't do this? He said here, he gave them what? Power. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out. So there should have been no, how come we can't do this? And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. And then he goes on, he names the disciples. So when we look at this, Jesus is a bit annoyed, and he does what? In verse 20, he said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall do what? Say. You're going to say. If you have faith, you're what? If you have faith, you have confidence. If you have faith, you have a belief, a trust. That means if you have faith, it's in your heart. You are going to say your faith. You're going to say you're believing something. See, so saying is part of it, but it's got to be connected with confidence. It's got to be connected with a belief. Belief what? I'm convinced that God anointed me to go lay hands upon the sick. You know, when I looked at this last night, I said, you know, it's not much different from then till now. Because in Mark 16 and Matthew 28, the Great Commission, before he ascended, he said, you, what did he say in Matthew 28? All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. And then in Mark 16, he talks about the same thing. And he said, make disciples, preach the gospel. Those that believe will be saved. Those that don't will be damned. And he said, and you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Or you cast demons out and you lay hands on the sick and so forth. So there should be no one saying, I'm not anointed. There should be no one sitting in this room that says, well, it's only for you because God has placed this special anointing upon you. You're anointed. You've been given a charge to do what? Go share the gospel. Go lay hands upon the sick. Cast out devils. That's why it thrilled me to see Apostle Mike sending these pictures, because that's exactly what they showed in picture. All three of them were standing up in front of people with a microphone with an interpreter. And you say, oh, no, not me. But you've been given a directive from the head of the church to do that. So you cannot step back, because this is just exactly what the disciples did. He gave them a charge. He gave them authority. And then when somebody came to them, they go, oh, we couldn't do it. What do you mean you couldn't do it? Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? He said, you didn't even operate in faith. Faithless, no faith. So that means to me that they didn't believe in their heart that they were anointed to do that, and they didn't say it. Because after the day of Pentecost came, what happened? Peter and all of them, they got up and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So there was boldness, see? And so this is what we need to see here, is that the seed is the word of God, and that seed is the word of faith, and it needs to be what? Planted, and it needs to be watered. And when you don't have confidence that maybe I can't do that, well, then confidence comes by how? Feeding on the word of God, feeding on the scripture that says You are anointed. You are called. And the more you feed upon that, it pushes out of you in your mind, in your heart, doubt. It pushes away fear. It pushes out of you that I can't do that. All of a sudden, you're like, yes, I can. Oh, yes, I can. And so this is what Jesus is saying here. See, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. So you can see here that, let me read this in Luke 17. Why don't we turn, verse 5, because I had you look at Luke 17, but look at, let me go back over there. Let's look at Luke 17. And here, again, the same thing. The apostles are saying to him, Lord, increase our faith. Right? And what did Jesus say? If you had faith as what? A grain of mustard seed, you might say, see, under this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. So he's saying here, if you had faith, you'd say something. If you believed, what do we mean by saying if you have faith? If you have confidence, if you have assurance in the promises of God, you would say something. You would say to the obstacle that you're confronted with, get out of my way. It's like Brother Hagin speaking to that woman and said, you will be well in Jesus' name. And you've got to begin to take that position that you are anointed, you are called of God, to change things. And it doesn't come overnight. This is a lifelong pursuit. How many are satisfied with where you are right now? You know, we see people who say, I'm going to get to pursue this type of education. Why did you do that? Because you weren't satisfied with something. You wanted a goal. You set a goal and you said, I'm going to work towards that. But you had to grow in that. You had to get more education. You had to apply it. You had to grow in that. Same thing with faith. How are you going to have more assurance and confidence in an area? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and watering and more watering and more watering. You know, I always like to say this. A lot of people want to be an Olympic athlete, but they don't want to put in the time nor the training. They want the harvest, but they don't like the process. The process is not glamorous. The process is hard work. It just is. But we like the harvest, right? So Luke 17, verse 5. This is a complete Jewish Bible. It says, the Lord replied, if you had trust. See, sometimes we get so clouded when we start talking the word faith that all of a sudden our mind runs off in a lot of different directions. Sometimes it's better to change that, because when we say faith, we are talking trust. We are talking assurance. And it says here, the Lord replied, if you had trust as tiny as a mustard seed, you could say to this fig tree, be uprooted and be replanted in the sea, and it would obey you. The Passion Translation. I like this rendering. It says, Jesus responded, if you have even the smallest measure of authentic faith, it would be powerful enough to say to this large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you into the sea, and it will respond to your faith and obey you. So faith, as small as a mustard seed. You know, sometimes we get stuck. he said faith and confidence is as a. So don't get stuck on the size of something, but because we can get over and say, oh, it's as small as a grain or a mustard seed, right? He's not talking about quantitatively, but the thing has to be, you've got to look at this and say that my faith needs to grow because confidence needs to grow. If your confidence stays the same as a baby Christian until you're a mature Christian, something's wrong. Something is wrong. That means you're not feeding on the Word of God so that you are becoming more confident in the promises of God. You're going to be a baby. I'll give you a scripture. You want a scripture? You know, sometimes it's good to feed upon these things because it helps us. So faith is as a seed, and it works as a seed. But I'm going to give you a few scriptures here. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as according as God hath what? Dealt to every man the measure of faith." So we were given a measure of faith, right? And the Amplified, it says, it amplifies it. But it says, according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Now turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want you to look at this for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. See, we cannot be satisfied where we are in our faith. Our faith, or we could say our assurance, our confidence in God needs to increase. How is that going to increase? By feeding on the Word of God. But look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your what? Your faith." Now let's just stop here. Let's take the word faith and say your confidence, your trust, your assurance does what? Groweth exceedingly. So you better. Because here's the thing, the devil is going to keep trying to put stuff in your life that's bigger, larger stuff. And you better have your trust increasing in God. How does that come about? Watering, and what happens? God gives the what? Increase. Now, hold that. I'm repeating some of these things, and don't tune me out here. I know you're listening, and I know I'm repeating this, but there's a purpose in this. This word "groweth exceedingly" is a compound Greek word. This is exciting to me because it's sprinkled. This word is sprinkled through the New Testament. In other ways, but it's the same Greek word. This Greek word is, as I said, it's the compound of two words. This compound word means to increase beyond measure, to increase above ordinary degree. So God gave us a measure of something. And this said here, we're to do what? Grow in it. To increase in our confidence. Now that word, this compound Greek word, which says groweth exceedingly, is the same Greek word in 1 Corinthians 3:6 that says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave. That word increase is the same Greek word. Who gives the increase? God gives the increase. He's expecting that we grow. He's going to give the increase, but you've got to plant it, and you've got to continue watering and watering and watering and watering, and he will give the increase. And that word is the same word that's used, groweth exceedingly. And it's talking about faith groweth exceedingly. How is that going to happen? You're going to have to feed on the Word of God, feed on the Scriptures, feed on it, and what will happen? Faith will come. Faith will increase. Faith, it says, well, what? Cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Hallelujah. So this word that's used to increase, when it says God gave the increase, this Greek word means to cause to grow, increase, become greater. That's what it means, to become greater. Listen to some of these other scriptures here. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. We're all familiar with this. But it's the same Greek word that's used, God gave the increase. Increase, to grow, to become greater. This Greek word, auxano, auxano, it means to increase, to grow, to become greater. What does this say? As newborn babes, do what? Desire the sincere milk of the word, you just stay the same. It says what? That you what? May grow thereby. That word oxano, to grow, is the same word that's used and God gave the increase. That you may grow, that your faith groweth exceedingly. Same word. God is expecting that this seed get planted in our hearts. And that we do what? Push fear out, push doubt out, cause things to change that we have the authority to change. But it's only going to come about, you're going to have to plant the seed and you're going to have to continually water it. And do what? Hold on to it. Obey it. Here's another scripture verse. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Now, this is Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, talking about what? Unity. Oh, this is interesting. He's talking about the unity of the body of Christ, and he said here, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the what? The faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a baby. Oh, no, that means a mature person. That means there's some growth here, right? Unto a mature man, unto the what? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, that's a baby, right? And carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now look at verse 15. But speaking what? The truth in love, that you may what?
Grow up.
Say grow up.
Grow up.
That you may grow up into him in what? In all things. Would that be healing? Would that be prosperity? Yes.
Amen.
Would that be deliverance? Would that be a sound mind? Yes, all things. Growing up in love. And it said here, which is the head, even Christ. This word, grow up, is the same word, same Greek word, that's used, and God gave the increase. The increase, the increase. This word, oxano, it's the same word. It means, as we said before, to cause to grow, to increase, become greater. God is expecting that we plant this seed it's like a grain of a mustard seed that's the least of all the seeds. You know, when you think about this, the world thinks it's the least. It's foolishness. But it becomes the greatest such that it grows into a tree and the birds of the air lodge in it. See? Now look at, here's another scripture. We'll close with this. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. It's talking about sowing. I mean, this word to increase, to grow, is all through the New Testament. These are just some of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And you know the scripture, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you having all sufficiency in what? In all things, may do what? Abound." I don't mean saying stagnant. That means you're abounding. You're growing to every good work. As it is written, "He hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." Now verse 10, "He that ministereth seed to the sower," both what? "Minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown," and do what? Say what? Increase. Increase. It's the same word again, oxano. It means to increase. This word again, it means to go beyond. That means growth. He does what? He increases the fruits of your righteousness. But you see here, look at the overall. When Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand all parables? God is looking at it. There has to be, in order for there to be a harvest, there has to be planting and there has to be watering. And God will give the increase. It's not going to just fall on you, as Brother Hagin used to say, like ripe cherries off a tree. There's going to be some effort on our part. We're going to have to feed on the Word of God, feed on it, and there's increase. That's what this is saying here. He's talking about whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. He's talking about if you sow and purpose in your heart to sow, he said, God will provide what? Seed to sow, bread for your food. He will multiply your seed sown and do what? Increase. Increase. So the increase is going to come from you sowing. You can't get increase without sowing. If you want to know how to get out of debt, you got to sow. You're going to have to sow. And people are like, "Well, I can't sow." Whatever you have, give. As a man purposeth in his heart. So if you've got a nickel, I heard ministers say, you know, Jerry Seffel, some of them, he said, "I had no money. I broke a pencil off and put it in. I had something to give." You got to sow to reap. And the same principle, if we're going to reap a harvest where our faith is concerned, God is expecting that our faith, what do we mean by that? Your trust and confidence in God. You know, if you read the biography of George Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R, he was in Europe, I think it was England, and he had a orphanage. And he said this at the end of his life. He said, it's just as easy for me. This was back in the early 1800s. He said, it's just as easy for me to believe for $1 million now than it was for me to believe for a dollar. How did he do that? He applied faith, but as he did that, confidence came. It grew in him to do what? Reach out and believe for bigger things that God had for him to do. He was applying his faith. If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say under this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up, be cast into the sea. So for us, this confidence, this trust in God is expected. The master is expecting that it increase, that it increase, that it increase. And I believe that all of us here, it's increasing in us. And the key to the increase is that you've got to feed on the word of God, you've got to believe it in your heart, and you've got to say what you believe. Praise God. And this is all part of this seed time and harvest, the power of the seed. The seed is powerful, but you can't just plant a seed without there being belief and watering. You got to water it. And in this case here, God will give the increase. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that your word is growing in us. This outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed. It's increasing within us. And we thank you that as we hold on to the word, as we apply it, we thank you that you're adding to, you're increasing our confidence in the word of God. We thank you for it. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for planting these truths in our heart. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's another scripture. I just thought of a scripture as I was just here praying. I'm serious. You go, this is, it just keeps coming up because it's all over. What does the scripture say in James? I believe it's chapter 2. And it talks about, yeah. It's actually in 1. In chapter 1, it says, verse 22. Verse 22 of chapter 1, it says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, doing what? Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and does what? Continueth therein, meaning you're obeying the word. He being not a what? A forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. So you can see pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. So the point is, you cannot just be a hearer of the word only. You can say, yes, I believe that. Yes, amen. And you can believe in your heart. But you're going to have to say something with your mouth. And that's exactly what Jesus said. He called the disciples on the carpet and said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, if you had faith, if you had trust, if you had confidence, then you would say. And so it's the same thing here. You can be deceived thinking, yeah, I believe God. And then you say something contrary. See? And this is what we need to be guarding against and saying, look, if we're all growing in our walk with God and our trust and confidence with Him. And so we need to do what? Examine ourselves and say, we all should here in this room not be satisfied where I am. What if you were at a point where you said, I'm going to believe God for more? More what? More for me to walk more in love, for me to walk more in prosperity, for me to walk more in health. How am I going to do that? You might say, well, I don't have the faith at this point or the trust or the confidence to call in a certain amount of money. Your brother Hagin, he said, look, I started at $5,000. When that came in, I upped it to $10,000. When that came in, I upped it to $20,000. When that came in, I upped it to $50,000. What was happening? His confidence was growing. He still applied faith, but his confidence was growing. That pleases God. And so we all should be looking, where can I expand? How can I grow? And what it said, we're to grow in all things. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, before we dismiss, let's just say this. The Word of God is increasing in me because I've planted seed, the incorruptible seed, and I'm watering it daily, and God is increasing that in me. Glory to God. You know, one of the things that I try to do every day is to take Scripture and speak it. And the more you speak it, the more you believe it. And what happens? Faith arises. Confidence arises. And so make it a habit. Find time. You're driving wherever you're driving, just in the car. Instead of listening to music and whatever, turn the radio off and begin to just make confessions of the Word of God. Amen. This is how you're going to grow. This is how you're going to be a champion for God. Amen. You know, a lot of times, you know, I know I'm rambling here, but, you know, what's interesting is people, and I say in general, and we all include ourselves, when I say people, I'm including myself, we walk through life, and then all of a sudden, we hear a message, but then it's connecting it with our life. An application in our life. Something that frustrates you in life. Something you want to see changed in your life. How are you going to do that? Believing in your heart and saying with your mouth. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the things that he says shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say. So a lot of times we say that so much, but then what happens is when there's a problem in life, when there's a frustration in life, we disconnect from the Scripture. And a lot of times we do that because what happens is the size of the mountain is so big that we forget about the enormity of God's word because we haven't been feeding on it. We haven't been meditating upon it. So when it comes, you go, oh no, you can't stay here. You've got to go. And that's what happens. We look at the mountain. Brother Hagin or Pastor Hagin says it this way, never face your mountain with your mouth closed. Never face your mountain with your mouth closed, which is so true. You're facing a mountain. Don't sit there and go, Don't hum. Feed on the word of God and speak to it. Because you've been given all power and dominion and authority here in this earth. And that dominion, the revelation of that dominion will grow as you feed on the word of God. Amen. Praise God.